This morning I will continue the series on faithful believers in scriptures or in the Old Testament we should emulate today. And today's sermon is going to focus on Joshua under the title Believers in Authority Rule by Example Rather than by Command. My text for you this morning is Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 to 15. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let us pray. Father, I come before you this morning because you are the only one that empowers for preaching. The preacher does not depend on his education or his ability to speak or his ability to communicate. We can only depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I come before you this morning asking that you fill me to preach and fill everyone here this morning to listen. That it will not be about us, but it will be about you. That it will be more of you and less of us. So have your way this hour. Use this text. Speak to us from this text. Let us hear a message from you that will inspire us, that will challenge us, that will open our eyes, that will edify us as a church, that we may be faithful in our commitment to serve you. So have your way, we pray, in Jesus' name. And let God's people say, amen. Amen. So according to the Bible, Joshua was a man of God. He was one of the 12 spies that Jesus sent to go spy on Canaan. And eventually, Joshua became the leader of Israel after Moses. And with his leadership, or under his leadership, Israel was able to conquer Canaan. And like Moses, Joshua was a leader who was very concerned about the faithfulness of the Israelites in serving God. And so in the text that we will be exposing this morning, we see that his goal is to exhort the people of Israel to be faithful in their service to God. But he premises his exhortation to how God has been faithful and how God has been good to them. And so if you look at the immediate context of our text, that is from verses 1 to 13, we see him recounting to the Israelites Jewish history 101, which pointed to the importance of God. It actually pointed out to how God has been faithful to them. In it, he spoke about how God blessed Abraham by calling him out of Haran, which was an idol-worshipping community. And God blessed the father Abraham and gave him a son, Isaac. He recounts how God blessed Isaac and gave him a son called Jacob. And how God blessed Jacob and gave him 12 sons who eventually became the 12 tribes of Israel. He recounts how Israel, these 12 tribes, became slaves in Egypt. but how God in his mercy and in his love sent Moses, and Moses came and delivered them from Egypt into the wilderness, where they spent several years there suffering for different reasons. And God still showed the mercy while they were in the wilderness. And eventually God brought them into the land of the Amorites. And God did not only bring them there, God gave them victory over the Amorites. They won the battle and took their land. And not only did God give them victory over the Amorites, he gave them victory over other territories in the area. And so in verses 12 and 13, Joshua is saying, my people, the fact that we now live in this land, the land of the Amorites, is not because we were good swordsmen. We have not won because of the bow or the arrow. We have won our battles because of the faithfulness of God. And because God has been good to us, God has been faithful to us, we now live in a land that we did not labor for. Because God has been good to us, we now live in beautiful cities and in beautiful homes we did not build. Because God has been faithful to us, we now eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that we did not plant. All of these things, the beauty we see here, only point to one thing. God loves us, and God has been faithful to us. So in verse 14, which is our text this morning, he draws his inference from this history of God's faithfulness. And he says, since God has been faithful to us as a people and has shown us this grace that is beyond what we deserve, we should serve him sincerely and with all faithfulness. So Joshua called for sincere and faithful worship of Yahweh. How? How did Joshua expect the Israelites to serve God faithfully and with sincerity? He says, by putting away the gods of your fathers. Who are these fathers that he's referring to here? That Joshua wants them to put away these other gods that your fathers serve. We know God's people are God's people. Who are these fathers that served other gods that Joshua is referring to here in verse 14? Well, first, these fathers here refer to Abraham before he was called. While he was still living in the land of Haran, Abraham's father, Terah, and Abraham's brother, Nahor, all of them, while they were in the land of Haran, they served other gods. Which is why when God's favor fell upon Abraham, God said, get out of there immediately. Get out of that life of idol worship and worship me alone. And so when he says the God of your fathers here, he's referring to the gods that Abraham and his family served while they were in Haran. We see this clearly expressed in verses 2 to 3 of Joshua chapter 24. He says, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates. Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. So while Abraham and his family lived in Haran, they served other gods until God called him. These fathers in context also refer to the Israelites who lived in Egypt. Now, those whom Joshua was addressing at this point were the descendants of these Israelites. All those who left with Moses in Egypt were all destroyed for different reasons except Joshua and a few others. And so while they were in Egypt, having lived there for so long, they began worshiping the Egyptian gods. And not only did they do that, they passed on that tradition to their children. And so at this point, the descendants of those who lived in Egypt were still serving the Egyptian gods. But the Israelites at the time when Joshua was addressing them did not only serve the gods of their fathers. They also served the gods of the Amorites, the land in which they were living. They began worshiping the gods of that land as well. So what Joshua is saying in this verse, verse 14, is that because God has been faithful to you as a nation, He has blessed you, He has prospered you, He has given you plenty, don't serve any other god. Not the gods that Abraham and Terah and Nahor served while they were in Haran. Not the gods that your fathers served when they were in Egypt. Not the gods of this land in which you are living in. Don't serve any other god. Serve only Yahweh, because He is worthy to be praised. I mean, your lives are a testament of His faithfulness. And he continues in verse 15 to say, I want you to serve Yahweh because you cannot serve two masters at the same time. You have to make a choice. It's either you choose Yahweh and serve Him exclusively, or you choose to serve other gods, but you cannot eat your cake and have it. You've got to make a choice. And then he says, this is what I'm telling you as your leader. I'm showing you the way, and I'm giving you the opportunity to make your own choice, because God has given you free will. He is sovereign. He is Lord. Does not mean He does not care about what you want. So God has given you the choice. Is it Yahweh or other gods? Choose what you want. But as for me, as for my personal convictions, and for me and my family, I know what I'm going to do. He said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So when we look at this text, and when we narrow it down just to Joshua's attitude towards the people as a leader, and his stand and his commitment to serving God, we can see clearly that Joshua as a leader distinguished himself. He distinguished himself as an exemplary leader who led by example rather than by command. And I believe that Joshua's leadership qualities ought to be emulated, especially within faith communities like ours. These qualities have to be emulated. The previous series we just concluded, we're talking about leadership in the body of Christ, in the church. And we established that the Bible clearly teaches that those who must lead a body, a congregation, are leaders who must meet certain qualifications, are elders who must meet certain qualifications. And right now we are in the process of praying that if it is God's will that we become an elder-led church, that He will bless us with the leaders who have these qualifications as outlined in the New Testament. But over and above that, we can see Joshua as a good example that these elders should emulate, to learn from, in order to be faithful leaders in the community of faith. So I have five lessons or 5 points to communicate to you this morning from the life of Joshua and his leadership style that could inspire those in our church whom God is calling to become elders, if it is His will that we become an elder-led church. Over and above what we see in the New Testament, we can learn from Joshua on how to become faithful leaders in His church. The first point I'd like to point across from Joshua is that Joshua was a leader who did not impose his will on the people just because he was in charge. He gave the people a choice. Thus he said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Now in the history of our church, we have had, in my personal interaction with different people, we've had leaders in the past who led in a way where the opinion of the church or the opinion of others did not matter. It was their way or nothing else. But we learned from Joshua that a good leader who leads after God's own heart is a leader who does not impose his will on the people, even though he has the authority. He gives his people a choice. He recognizes that people are not robots, that people have a mind of their own, and they should make their own decisions. And we see this clearly expressed in Peter's exhortation to elders in the churches in the diaspora. He said, elders are to exercise oversight to the body, but not by domineering over those under their charge, but by being good example. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, he called on the elders to be good examples for others to follow and not just sit on the high seat and point out direction and say, do this or do that. And so we can see this clearly displayed in Joshua's life. He had the authority, but he did not domineer. He led by example. He gave the people a choice. So Joshua type of leaders are leaders who consider the will of the people, the concerns of the people, and let the people make their own decisions as they feel convicted by the Holy Spirit. The second thing we get from Joshua, which is worth emulating, is that Joshua was not as concerned about pleasing people as he was concerned about pleasing his God. He understood that it was by the power of God that he became the leader, and that if he was to succeed in his task as a leader of God's people, he had to be on God's side. So he was not a people pleaser, he was a God pleaser. We see that clearly expressed in Colossians chapter 3 verse 22, where Paul advised servants not to be people pleasers, but to fear God in all they do. Good leaders, faithful leaders, fear God in their leadership. Their fear for God outweighs their fear of what man may think. Leaders who lead to please men often run into trouble, because man is like grass and his grace is like the flowers. They will eventually wither and fall. But the ones who lead by the standard of God, man will pass, but they will remain, because anyone who stands with God will win with God. And Joshua was a man who feared God. The third point we see here is that Joshua was a man who cared for the spiritual well-being of his family. The fact that he included his family in his decision and his determination to serve God only suggests that he was a leader who was successful in leading his family the way of the Lord. And that was vital, because how can he lead a whole nation to serve God if he cannot lead his own family to serve God? And we see that clearly expressed in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 to 5, where Paul was advising that elders in the church must be men who are able to manage their household well and to keep their children from being insubordinate. Elders must be men who discipline their children well and lead them in the right direction. And he says, for if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how can he care for God's church? By demonstrating that he could lead his family, he could direct his family toward worshiping God, Joshua proved to be a leader after God's own heart. And so we learn that good leaders begin by leading their homes to go the direction of the Lord. We also see here that Joshua was a good example of what he wanted his people to be. He wanted his people to be faithful and serve God, and he was an embodiment of that. We see that clearly expressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, where Paul admonished the Corinthians. He said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So leaders must not expect people to live right while they live the opposite. You must live what you preach. You must be a visible example of the message that you communicate to the people, because that has a tremendous effect on how well your message will be received by the church. Good leaders must not just be men who talk the talk. They must be men who do what? Walk the walk. And for some of us, you all know you are in different spheres of life. And some people within your circles where you have the opportunity to influence, they may never actually get into a church on their own. They may never actually open a Bible literally and read it. You are the only Bible that they will have to read first. And so don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. That's what leaders are supposed to do. And we could see that clearly displayed in Joshua's life. He was faithful, and he demonstrated that faithfulness in serving God. And number five, because Joshua maintained his resolve as a leader to worship God and worship him alone, his choices and his actions inspired others to do the same. Leaders do have a tremendous ability to influence others by the choices they make. Because Joshua did that. He said, I love you all, but as your leader, I know what I'm going to do. I will serve the Lord, but you can do whatever you want to do. And they looked around and said, if our leader can do this, then we should be doing the same thing too. Therefore, in verse 16, we see the people responding to Joshua's admonition, and they said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. If you, our leader, will stand firm and serve the Lord, why should we not follow you? And so because of the faithfulness of their leader towards Yahweh, the whole nation was inspired to be faithful to Yahweh. Beloved, if God is really calling us as a church to become an elder-led church, we need men who will be like Joshua. Men who will lead like Joshua. Who will demonstrate these qualities that Joshua demonstrated that made him a man of God, and God was pleased with him. But apart from us needing elders who will lead like Joshua in our church, I believe our need goes beyond the church. We need leaders who are going to lead like Joshua in every area of life. We need leaders who are going to lead like Joshua in our homes. We need leaders who are going to lead like Joshua in our families, in our marriages, in our businesses, in our communities. We need leaders like Joshua everywhere. You might say to me this morning, Brother Greg, I hear what you're saying, Now believing what you're saying, but I'm just not a leader. When you talk about leaders, I know of people in the church that I can point and say, these men are leaders. But as for me, I've never led anyone. I don't know anything about leadership. So perhaps this message is not for me. Well, let me tell you this. It's true that not everyone may have been called to lead a church. It's true that not everyone may have been called to lead a family. It's true that not everyone has been called to lead a business or a community. But I tell you this, we are all leaders in our own terms. We are all leaders. We might not be playing a frontline role in the ministry of leadership, but we are leaders nonetheless. A prolific leadership educator in the person of M.S. Rao puts this beautifully well when he said this. He said, everybody is a leader. The one who leads from the front is a leader. The one who sets an example is also a leader. As parents, you provide direction to your family, care for your children, and groom them so they can grow up with a good character. As an educator, you mentor your students. As a salesperson, you serve your customers. All these people are all leaders, irrespective of their positions, titles, and ranks. They make a difference in the lives of people. Hence, everybody is a leader. Not everybody can be Mahatma Gandhi or Mother Teresa or Martin Luther King, but everyone is a leader in their own right. So let us learn to lead and influence others as best as we can. So make no mistake about this, brothers and sisters. You are a leader in your own terms. So this message is for you, regardless of the position you occupy or you do not occupy. Regardless of the title that you have or you do not have, this message is for you. This message is for all of us. Which means that we don't just need leaders in the church. We don't just need leaders in our homes. Because everyone is a leader. Where you see people, you see leaders. So we don't just need leaders. We need a special type of leaders. Leaders who will lead like Joshua. That's what we need. The right type of leadership. A leadership that is endorsed by the hand of God himself. And my prayer is that God will bless this church with good leaders. That God will bless our homes with good leaders. That God will bless our community, our society, with a Joshua generation type of leaders. Leaders who have decided to follow Jesus and are determined not to turn back. Leaders who will still follow Jesus even if no one followed them. Leaders who are willing to carry their cross and follow Jesus even when the world will insult them. Regardless of the reproach of the world, they will be committed to following Jesus in their leadership. Leaders who are willing to put the world behind and the cross in front. Leaders who, like Joshua, are bold enough to stand their ground and say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Oh, I pray that we are blessed by those type of leaders in our church, in our community, and in our world. So as I conclude the sermon, the question for you this morning or this afternoon is not whether you are a leader, but we all are leaders in our own terms. The question is, what kind of leader are you? Or what kind of leader do you want to be? Or what kind of leader have you decided to be? Who have you decided to follow? Who have you decided to emulate? Have you decided to follow the world of sin? Go the way of the world? Live in the world and be of the world? Or you have decided to follow Jesus Christ? I don't know about you, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me, I have decided, and we have decided to follow Jesus. There is no turning back. We have been chosen by Him. We have been called by Him. We have been hooked by Him, and we will serve Him. And in every area of our lives, however He has called us to serve and to lead, we will lead for Him and by Him. We have decided to follow Jesus. What about you? What about you as an individual? What about you as a family? Have you decided to follow Jesus?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Sing that first verse with me. I have decided to follow Jesus.
That's right.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
If after you've heard the sermon and you are here this morning and you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you may have been a Christian for a long time, but you don't lead like Christ because you don't have Christ in you, and you would like to surrender your life to Jesus this afternoon so that He will become the Lord of your life, I'd like to invite you to come forward right now. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Jesus wants you to forgo the world and live for Him and by Him. Is there anyone here this afternoon who would like to surrender your lives to Jesus?
I have decided.
If you are here this morning, this afternoon,
to follow Jesus,
and you would like to meet with me after the service,
I have decided,
or sometime during the week, to pray, to share about something that is burdening you in your heart after you've heard the sermon, please just let me know what will work for you, and we will arrange for a time of counseling. God is calling us to choose Him as our God. God is calling us to forgo the expectations of the world and to choose Him and stand for Him. Though none may go with us, still we will follow Him. Though our decision may not be popular in Glen Burnie, in Anne Arundel County, still we will go with Jesus. Oh, that you will hear the voice of God and you will stand your ground like Joshua and say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We may be living in a community where over 70% or 80% do not go to church, but as for me and my household, my children, I will see to it that they come to church, they become Christians. We will serve the Lord in my family. You do not have because you have not asked. Ask God for that grace to stand your ground for your family. I'm speaking to parents here who have children who are lost in the world, and you have let them live their lives because they are adults. No, you can change them by your prayer, and you can pull them back to that foundation where you raised them, the church. You can do it if you make that commitment today and lead like Joshua in your family. Let us pray. Father, may this message speak better things to us this afternoon than imagined. May this message build in us confidence to rebuke our recalcitrant children, our ungodly children, rebuke them with the authority of God and use our influence over their lives as parents, as their seniors, and say, serve the Lord. In this family, we serve the Lord. Lord, raise up leaders from among us. Men and women who will lead their children and lead their family in the direction of the Lord. Because that's what makes a church. A healthy church is not a beautiful building. It's not a well-decorated sanctuary. A healthy church is healthy people. A healthy church is healthy families. Come together and form a fellowship. So as we pray for the health of our church, we pray that you minister to each family. We have about 25 family units here in Glen Burnie Baptist Church. We pray, oh God, that you will bring true godly leadership in all these families. Give parents, give the men the boldness to stand and lead like Joshua. Because when leadership is successful at home, it will transcend, it will come out, it will manifest in the church. One of the reasons why we lack leaders in the church is because there are no leaders at home. And when children don't see godly leadership, they tend to go astray. And so, Lord, I pray today that you raise up leaders from among us. Leaders who will lead children. Leaders who will lead at their place of work. Leaders who will lead in the community, oh God. We have so many lost people in Anne Arundel County because we don't have leaders. Those who claim to be Christians have confined their Christianity to be a personal matter. Oh God, may this message ignite in us the call to be evangelists and missionaries, to influence others in our community with the word of God and with the way of God. So I pray, may we be leaders who do not lead by command, but who will lead by example. May we not just talk the talk, may we walk the walk. And now to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the throne of the mighty God, be all glory, dominion, and power. As you go, go and be a good leader and come and be part of our church in a way that will bring glory to the name of our Lord.